Norster Kenius.
I was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketing! Border charcoal, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not bob at me, Kenny! Do not bob at me!
It's a love affair.
Hey, we're here.
All right.
Hey.
Hey.
Is it hockey season again?
I do believe it is.
Great.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming, or so I hear. If you haven't noticed, we're on video right now.
Woo!
If you're listening to this,
hi, Mom.
You can go check us out on YouTube if you want to watch this. But welcome to episode 108 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded and streamed live Monday, October 10th. In this is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about...
That's what your Chevron says, too.
Yes. Chiron?
Chiron. Chevron. Chiron.
In this episode, we talk about the preseason, wild lines, and the final roster. In the studio with me is Kenny.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
Hey, and over there, we got Jive.
Good evening, folks.
So, how was your summer?
Busy.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes, that's all I have to say about summer. It's wow. I mean, yeah, it was a great time. Went way too fast, but yes, it was definitely jam-packed.
I could use another 3 months of it.
Well, I agree. Maybe we'll get a little Indian summer here, and you know, things will stay warm.
That's a little odd to say that on Columbus Day, of all days, but...
Oops.
Yeah.
But... But I guess I'll be the one that goes there.
But I mean, I don't really want to go down that.
No,
that
it's probably
stink
a
stink hole right
it's
now.
You don't
not
want to go down that trade route.
No.
And we're off to a great start. This is our new season for us.
I got some blankets for you.
Oh boy. So new season, a little bit different setup as we discussed. We got video. If you see us doing this kind of look over the shoulder.
Or I just kind of like, if I look like, yeah, I'm constantly rolling my eyes.
Because we got a screen on with the video. And
like, it's
we're
like right there.
We're making sure it doesn't like blow up and blue screen on us.
We're making sure y'all can see us.
Right. And we got chat going. If you go to the YouTube channel, we got chat going and you can chat at us. There's like a 10-second delay, so it's a little bit wonky there. But,
yeah, so if your question doesn't get answered right away, just count to 10. You know, like that old, what is that? When you're angry, you're supposed to just like count to 10 or something like that and calm down.
Yeah, sure. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So
count to 4. It's easier.
Well, if you have kids, it's usually 3, isn't it?
4.
4?
Yeah. That's what Daniel the Tiger says, at least. You guys probably don't even know about Daniel the Tiger, do you?
No, and I don't think I want to.
But you did watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood now, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so Daniel Tiger is the little spinoff of there.
Gone big time.
Are you bringing your kids to see Maddie B on Friday?
Sylvie's ready to go.
Is she?
Yeah.
You want?
She heard Uncle Kenny's taking her.
All backstage passes, too?
Yeah.
And with that, I think we need to talk about the Wild here.
Well, what we're supposed to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk.
We'll get into that.
Preseason action. We had World Cup beforehand. Canada took gold. I don't. Do we even want to talk about this?
Because
it was kind of irritating the whole.
I'm so sick of Crosby getting trophies and medals and everything else. I'm done with that guy.
Hey, he even gets
concussed.
All right.
so coming,
the guy that gets everything.
So coming out of the first round, disappointment by Team USA. Suter,
that is ugly.
Suter and Parisi returned to the Wild, and then the Wild actually went 3-3 during the preseason. Wins over Winnipeg, Buffalo, and Carolina, losses to Winnipeg, and twice to Colorado. So, you know, 1-4 in the preseason versus division opponents, including being swept by the Avs, who are 6-0 right now. Is it too early to worry?
Yes.
I mean, should we, is there, I mean, they got a new coach. The Avs do.
So do we.
But our new coach lost to their new coach twice.
But this is the preseason. I mean, for most of the preseason, it's the B-squad players getting the most of the playing time. You know, people are scrapping around trying to, you know, get a spot on that opening day roster of the NHL team. And, you know, I don't think that we have a lot to worry about yet. You know, I do hope that, you know, we can obviously get some offense going this year, because I think that's what we're going to need.
And the Wild did end on a really high note by just dismantling Winnipeg. I think they had three or four power play goals. I mean, it was like, wow, this is what a power play is supposed to look like. It's pretty amazing.
Right.
Well, hopefully our special teams are a little bit better than the dismal season of last.
Yeah, that's to say the least. You know, we had Coyle and Zucker. They led the team with two goals each. It's a little bit misleading because Zucker played five games. Coyle played in two. So Coyle's two is a little more impressive. Coyle, Zucker, Stahl, Spurgeon all led the team with 3 points each. So with that, I mean, what we've seen in limited time, you know, like I said, Coyle playing in two games, you wouldn't see a whole lot. What are we thinking for a breakout season here? I mean, are any of these guys, you know, is Stahl going to be a piece that's going to go somewhere? Or?
Well, I don't think we saw some of our actual line combinations, or at least not for the entire preseason. I think once we start seeing some of those lines and those guys start gelling with each other a little bit more come like actual game time, I think we're going to look a little bit better.
And I don't know. I guess my pick for the person having the breakout season would be Coyle. I mean, he's going to get matched up there on that top line. He's going to get plenty of playing time, and, you know, hopefully he's going to be able to come through and show us what he's, you know, what he's got. I mean, he's continued to improve every year, I think, and I definitely think this is his time to shine here.
So sort of going off of that, as far as players shining, Stalock was pretty solid in limited action. He played, and I think was at six or seven periods of hockey.
Yeah.
But he was really played very well. Kemper, on the other hand, struggled quite a bit with an .860 save percentage. You would hope that he would do a little bit better, especially if he's going to be a primary backup. Mm-hmm. And I know I was reading Russo, and Kemper is rumored to be on the trading block. Should the Wild try to move him? And if so, what sort of player would we be looking to get in return?
Yeah, I mean, his numbers have kind of not been steady with the Wild at all. He's when he's hot, he's good, but, you know, he tends to go through a lot of slump. You know, if we get rid of him, open up some cap space, I mean, our D-line is sitting okay right now, but it'd be nice to see a little bit more of an offensive D-man.
What do you think, Jav?
Yeah, you know, Kemper, I think that if given the opportunity with some team to play consistently and given, you know,
because he's always going to be second fiddle as long as Dubnyk's around.
Right? Exactly. And if he's actually given that opportunity, I think he could definitely prove to be a worthwhile goaltender for a team that needs a goaltender. But at this point, you know, it's clear who the number one goaltender is for the Minnesota Wild. And I just don't, you know, if we can, you know, pick up, you know, I don't, if we just pick up even some draft picks for him, you know, to start to build for the future even. I mean, because when you look at things, we've got a few years left here with, you know, Parisi's and the Suitors and stuff in their prime.
Right.
You know, but what do we have coming up behind that? I mean, I know last year we expressed a lot of concern with what was down in Iowa and what we had to fall back on. So, you know, maybe we need to be working at filling in some holes down there.
Well, and it does seem like, at least her, from my standpoint, I'm thinking I feel we're kind of solid on D. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still got Follin, we still got Prosser. Not that, you know, anyone's in love with Prosser, but Follin, I think, had a relatively good preseason. Mm-hmm. He had a goal on the other night against Winnipeg, and he looked pretty good. He's going to be struggling to play for us to get playing time, but Kemper, he's not getting paid much. I don't think we're going to get much in the way of savings, but I do think the forward core isn't very solid for the Wild. And that's going to be the one spot where I think we're going to need some help. We're going to talk about it a little bit later, but I mean, we've got a few kids that are going to be down in Iowa. But beyond that, I don't know if we've really got tested depth. And that's going to be a problem we're going to be struggling with.
Megan was asking, Kemper's still young, who would be backup goalie?
Well, I believe in Iowa we still have McCulloch.
Currently, we still got Stalock.
And we have Stalock. So Stalock would be our backup.
Potentially, we still have Stalock.
And Stalock has had, NHL time. So it's not like Stalock is, a kid who's never played in the NHL. He's not going to be starstruck or anything like that.
Right.
I would go with Stalock, but he did very well during the preseason. Limited minutes, but he looked pretty good.
Yeah.
So the other big takeaway from the preseason here is Suter played in two games, as most of the top stars, they only play,
He is also coming back from World Cup along with
World Cup.
Parisi, so, and Koivu and Granny.
And Halla.
And Halla.
And often the top players don't travel as often. For those road preseason games. So he played two games, but his average time on ice was just over 23 minutes. Quite a departure from the...
I'm okay with that.
I am as well. I guess my question is, do we think this is going to stay? Is this just preseason minutes management, keeping your good guys, healthy? Or is this... Is this a sign of something?
The end of an era of the 28-minute Suter?
Right.
I don't know. I think that it's going to be dictated more by probably the importance of the game and how the games are going. If it ends up that the Wild are on top by 3 goals, there's no reason to, continue to force to have him on the ice. But if we're in tight games and it warrants it, I think that Boudreaux will play his cards as needed.
Right.
So,
so if you're going to be a betting person, would you take the over under on Suter playing averaging 24 minutes a night?
I would go over.
I'm going to go under for right now. But I say, ask me again in a week or after the Wild get a few games underneath them to see how Boudreaux is going to play it, like real games, not preseason games. But I'm gonna go under for right now.
And I'm going to go over. However, it does, from what I've been reading, it certainly seems like Boudreaux is taking a more hard-line stance with his players. As compared to what we saw with Yo, maybe he'll actually stick to it and not double back once one of the rookies has a tough game.
Well, and that's the thing is, I think that Boudreaux, whatever it is he needs to do, he's going to do it for the betterment of the team and for to produce a good product on the ice. And if what needs to be is Suter to be out there, then he's going to have him out there. If we need to keep fresh legs on the ice, which that's another part that Boudreaux, I know, has been stressing on, is that, he wants late in the game, he wants us to be the team that's outdoing you know, the other team to be overcoming them because we got the stamina and, you know, so, you know, having a fresh pair of legs out there is what you need for that. So, you know, maybe he won't see all that time on ice.
Yeah, but when you're gliding, you don't use much energy though, right?
Well, we've also seen how that goes.
Right.
He always seems to be in the right spot at the right time, though. That's, you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
You don't often find him out of position, though. I mean, honestly, really.
No.
We can give him crap for gliding all day, but for taking his defensive position, he is...
I do like him, you know, as the lone D on a power play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not going to leave you out to dry.
He's not going to pinch in quite as often as, say, like Spurgeon
would,
but he's also going to be more rock solid on the blue line as a solo D.
Yeah, agreed.
So, well, talking about that, why don't we get into, you know, talking about our brand new and improved, or I don't even know if we can say improved yet, but our brand new top line. Which this year, you know, by all accounts, it appears that it's going to be Parisi, Staal, and Coyle. If we look back to the 2015-2016 season, combined, these guys put together a total of 134 points, you know, which would be a combination of about 59 goals and 75 assists. Not too shabby,
no.
But, you know, again, none of these guys were 100-point guys or anything like that last year.
Right.
So, and we've got Eric Staal coming into the Wild this year. And, I mean, he's basically kind of looking to revive his career here, basically. I mean, he's had several kind of unproductive seasons. And, you know.
And last year was particularly bad for him.
Yes, it was. And then you've got Parisi. He had surgery during the off season there.
Yep.
So
back.
Yeah. Yep. How healthy is he going to be? Is he going to have a healthy season? And then we've got Coyle. I mean, Coyle, this is our young pup coming up here now. I mean, but now he's not young anymore. He's in his fifth season now here in the NHL. So he should be getting solidified, and, you know, hopefully he's looking to have, like what we were kind of discussing before, have that breakout season. So, I guess, you know, what do you guys think will the makeup of this new line, do you think that'll be enough to, you know, spark the Wild offense and give them, you know, the oomph that, you know, maybe it's okay for Dubnyk or Kemper to take a night off and let in a couple extra goals, and we've got the offensive power to overcome that?
Well, I think my biggest problem with this line is that it kind of consolidates all of our guys that can be a little gritty.
Yeah.
And I'd personally would prefer that was a little more spread out amongst our lines. And that's about my only real complaint about this line. And that's,
I like that. I like having almost like a grinder line as your top line. You know, if your top line can start wearing down the other teams, you know, great. You know, they can match them with what, their third or fourth line, you know, because they're a little bit heavy hitting, but their defensive play isn't going to be nearly as solid against, you know, a top line offensive line either.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess looking at the new line here, I'm excited to see what's going to happen. If these three gel well together, I think that it could be beneficial to the three of them as players and as well as to our team if they could put points on the board. I know you guys talk a lot about like the grinding and stuff, but I mean, Coyle, we've seen several times where he can put on a little bit of finesse there.
And
make it look pretty.
We've seen him and Parisi play together.
Yeah. And, you know, so I'm excited to see what they're going to do. I'm not convinced that this is going to be the end-all, be-all answer, though, to the, you know.
I mean,
what I think is compare this, offense.
Or compare this to Chicago's top line.
Right.
You know,
they're not producing the same amount of points.
No.
I mean, when it comes down to it.
No, they're not.
So, that said, what do you guys think about Staal's chances of actually rebounding in Minnesota? Do you think this is a good spot for him to come do that? Do you think he's...
I don't know. I mean, look at what we did to Pominville when he came here. I mean, Pominville's having some great years, and he's been slowly declining. I mean, hopefully last year was just a slump.
But you look at it, and I mean, look at his age, and he's at the age when players start producing less. I mean, that's just... That's just the way it works.
Their hairline starts to recede, and, you know.
He it seems like, you know, rather than slowly going down, it was like, and just took a nosedive.
No, it was. And I hope that Staal will be able to, I mean, I look at his numbers last year, and I think that's just, I think that was an aberration. I don't think he's as bad as last year's numbers are. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be as good as he was 5 years ago. I think that's going to be a given. But I do think he can revive. We'll have to temper our expectations a little bit, though, I think.
Well, I'm actually kind of hopeful. Speaking of Pominville, about that second line, I think having Granny on a wing centered by Koivu and then throwing Pominville in there, that might actually be a better line for him. And, and his numbers, I think we might see an improvement on his numbers
well,
this year.
And, we've seen Granny and Pominville play together well in the past. Maybe the addition of having Koivu in there in the mix changes the dynamic. And I mean, watching the game at Winnipeg, Pominville was throwing hits. And it's like, how often last year did we see Pominville kind of skate up and then just disappear out of a play?
Well, it sounded like everybody was getting physical, though, too.
But we need that. I mean, if you don't, Boudreau had a good quote. It's like, if you're not, I'm paraphrasing, but basically, if you're not finishing checks and making them pay for going into certain spots, they're going to challenge you all the time.
They're
going to
come back again, yep.
And if you at least make them think twice about it, that changes the, you know, the makeup of their plays.
Right. If a guy goes in to rob a store and you let him just walk out with the stuff and you don't shoot him in the leg, he's going to come back and try to do it again.
Where did that analogy come from?
I've been watching too much Shameless. Sorry.
That reminds me of the line from one of the Lethal Weapons where, are you a cop? My mom says cops kill black people. No, when I see somebody, I try to shoot him in the leg or something. Oh, boy.
So the last person that we need to talk about here on that top line would be Coyle. You guys, is he ready for the big time here again now? I know he's had opportunities before to skate, you know, top line and things like that. But, you know, it sounds like this is his year right now to, you know, make his mark and be that number one line guy the entire season.
Well, I mean, I think he's going to be on a line where he's going to be expected to perform. He had 21 goals last year, so that was, I think he's capable of doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be enough passing on this line? So, I mean, because this line is kind of built to score.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to be dishing off the pucks?
Who's going to be making the dishes, right?
I think they could, though. I think Coyle could be, I think this could be a good breakout year for him. I don't expect him to get a ton of assists, but, you know, I think 25 goals seems reasonable to me.
Well, if that top line, if they each get 25 goals, I'd be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just 75 goals from that line. I mean,
ideally you'd have at least a 30 pointer in there, because that's the one thing that the Wild haven't had with any sort of regularity.
Is somebody scored 30 goals.
Yeah.
You know, Parisi and Staal are both quite capable of it.
Yeah, this is true.
And, you know, actually that might help Coyle with some more goals, because if those two are being covered a lot harder, that could potentially leave Coyle open for some more shots.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we had some roster.
Yeah.
Roster moves.
Besides that first line.
One of the biggest is Carter got released from a professional tryout with the Wild. He thought he had something. I don't remember what he thought he had wrong, but like rotator cuff or something like that.
Torn labrum.
Yeah, and come to find out, he has to go under the knife and get surgery on his shoulder. And it's a 5-month rehab. The Wild did say that they would help him out with the surgery, which was, you know, pretty awesome of them, considering that he's technically let go from the team.
Right. But he's been here a couple of years now. I mean,
there's... he is hometown boy.
Yeah.
He's one of us.
He is.
We'll see him in the front office, I'm sure.
You know, he's 33. You know, he's got a fairly major surgery coming up, and he got cut from a professional tryout. Is it safe to say his NHL career might be done, at least as far as like from a player standpoint?
Well, I mean, I got to think, unless some team is really desperate for like a fourth line guy that can kind of grind at stuff at the end of the season, this year might be toast for him. But then after missing a season when you're 33 to come back, especially when you're a guy that was on a professional tryout to begin with,
right?
That's going to be tough. That's going to be real tough.
Yeah. I have to agree. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be the end of his playing career in general, but in the NHL, quite possibly.
You see him going to maybe somewhere else?
There's a lot of upside to him that I feel there is, in my personal opinion. He doesn't bring a ton of offense to a team, but he can put the puck in the net. He's shown us that. He can be physical and take the body. How well all that works after, you know, shoulder surgery and 5 months of rehab, that's, you know, still to be seen. So it's too early for me, I guess, really to make that call, though.
No, I get that.
What else we got going on? Well, there was Delpy was placed on waivers, but he survived. There's a chance he might make the trip to St. Louis. I mean, how do you feel about Delpy? I mean, mediocre.
Yeah, player. I mean, I think he's. I don't know that he's NHL
ready.
Ready. Yeah. And if he's playing Iowa, that's great for us. That's the way I look at it, at least.
Yep.
Better
off there getting more playing time and improving your game than sitting on the bench or being the healthy scratch up here.
Oh, and let's be honest, Iowa's going to need all the help they can get, especially, you know, the way the big team has stocked them over the last, you know, handful of years.
Right.
It hasn't been that great, so.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one, Alex Stalock was placed on waivers actually today, which now cuts the Wild down to their 23-player max. There are a few other goalies out there. I know. I think San Jose, I think, was in the market for a goalie.
And they're familiar with Stalock.
They are. There are a few other goalies out there. Montreal, I think, has Condon on waivers as well.
Right.
I'm not too concerned about him getting picked up, but it could potentially happen. But yeah, he is one that I would hope passes waivers, though. Just we've seen our goalie issues in the past few seasons. That having somebody solid as a backup would be great.
Especially
just that one more. Yeah.
Especially if there's an injury somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, heaven forbid. But
so I think that is it as far as like up and downs right now. I mean, obviously Carter's a big one with the shoulder and the surgery, and then, you know, Stalock. So other than that, coming up, we've got a few games before our next podcast, next Monday. Thursday is the season opener against the Blues in St. Louis, 7 o'clock game. And then have Friday off, and then Saturday against the Jets, which is going to be the Wild's home opener here. So
we're kind of unfamiliar with them so far. So.
Yeah.
What have we played them twice in the preseason, correct?
Right.
Yeah, won ones, lost ones.
Yep.
So other than that, I mean, you know, we should have a little bit more to talk about next week, I think, after we get to see some of these lines. And
well, and it's great that we're getting, maybe it's not great, I don't know, but it's great that we're getting two divisional opponents kind of right off the bat. get to see what their squads are looking like as well.
Yeah.
Their full squads rather than just...
And I think...
And it's not the team that went 6-0 in the preseason.
Right.
They've got time to waffle and fail before they come meet
waffle.
Us. Waffle. Waffle.
Yeah.
Waffle.
Where's our fail horn for that one? I don't know. I mean... If I remember correctly, didn't we start off in St. Louis last year, too?
I want to say we started in Colorado. We started in Colorado a lot of times.
Right. That's where I was going to go, was Colorado. Yeah. But I'm sure someone will fact check us, because...
I thought I remember being like near St. Louis last year for the Wild's season opener. Maybe it was the year before.
Well, you got to keep in mind, though, when we're playing the division so frequently...
Right,
we're gonna have plenty of chances to play them, and so
we'll see.
It gets all bunched up schedule wise, but yeah.
All right. Well, hey, guess what? Though right now we're leading our division.
Tied for the lead.
We don't have a single loss yet.
Right.
Go team.
All right.
So let's do some Twitter talk.
All right.
I almost forgot about those.
Yeah, I know. So we have just one question, since we're, I don't know where we're sitting for time, to be honest, but we'll just get one out of here. Question comes from Derek Felska at State of Hockey News, a friend of the show. Will the Iowa Wild make the AHL playoffs this season? Fourth time's a charm, or will it be another season of futility?
Maybe. They're under a new coach this year, too. Since
That's true.
I don't know. We'll see. If Stalock clears waivers and he's down there, they got a solid goaltender. There are some caliber players that are down there right now that the Wild have placed on, like Adelpi. I mean, he might not be NHL level yet, but he's still, solid AHL player.
I heard Waz trying to work his way in down there.
Oh, crap.
I personally don't think they'll be a playoff team, but
who knows?
You never know with the AHL. It seems like we've had a little bit better time pulling in talent, and you got Tuck down there. He should be getting some playing time.
Yep.
Hopefully, his presence helps that team.
And we'll see how the Big Wild do this year too. I know that. In several of the past seasons, there's been a lot of ups and downs, and there's never been those solid third and fourth lines. It was always juggling this person
right.
in and that person out, and maybe if they've got a chance down there to solidify their top lines, because up here we've solidified our bottom lines, maybe then
and we stayed healthy,
they have a time to gel, and we got to stay healthy,
right?
So that's another thing. So but
isn't Lucia still down in Iowa too, isn't he?
I believe so, yeah. And just to go back, last season we did start against the Avs. First home game was against the Blues.
Ah, okay. Maybe that's what it was.
Yep. So, there you have it. Twitter talk.
Here it comes.
Now there it went.
yeah, I think we got a show here. Kenny, where can people find where you're at?
At Nostra Kenius, pretty much everywhere now.
Yeah.
So
you flipped it all over.
I think so. Facebook maybe not yet, but I don't know. I don't really care about Facebook much anymore. Just kind of one of those things that I have because I feel like I need to.
No, I get it. Everyone else is on there, right?
Yeah. I don't want to miss something. Was it FOMO?
Yes.
Right. If you're missing out on hockey.
Yeah, FOMO.
FOMO. FOMO, FOMO, show.
FOMO, FOMO, show.
Yeah, otherwise, you can usually find me around town somewhere on the weekends mixing something or another.
All right. Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
You can find out about me at about.me/heyjive. I need to get that updated, but yeah.
Actually,
you can find out my handles around there and figure out how to link up with me there.
As for myself, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. We are @3inthebox. If you got questions, send us those tweets, the hashtag 3ITB, and we'll probably read them on the show. You can listen to our podcast on 3inthebox.com or through your favorite podcast player.
Or now you can even watch us live.
Or
if you really like us, you can go back and watch us every day of the week.
Why not?
Yeah, because this shit will be archived.
I wouldn't want to look at our
Actually, this one may not be considered, you know, Jive might have got us a cease and desist takedown with the...
That's right.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's it for this week's show. See y'all later.